So, you know, we live in a world where we're confused at times about who we are and what that's supposed to look like. Maybe even at times ashamed of who we are and what we're supposed to look at. And often that confusion or that shame causes us to try to kind of stifle or to hide or to put it, Jesus might put it in a way of putting a bushel over a lamp, right? We love who we are in Christ, and yet at times don't always like the effect that it has on those around us, especially if it's not good, right? And so obviously we're talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ and what that does for us, and we're talking about that in the book of Galatians. And so last week in the book of Galatians, we talked about the law, right? We talked about how the law showed our need for salvation and how it drove us to Jesus. So the law is good, but it was never meant to save. The law wasn't able to save us. As a matter of fact, he says, you know, either if you're going to go with that system, then you've got to be perfect in that system. And if you can't be perfect in that system, which is every one of us, then the only way to be saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ and by faith in him alone. And so we said that law was good. It wasn't bad because it showed us that need and it drove us to Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, Jesus met that need. Praise the Lord that God came down in the person of Christ, took on flesh, lived a perfect life, and when he died a sacrificial death in our place. Praise God. So now what? So now what? That's where Paul goes. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. At the end of the chapter, we're going to delve into chapter 4 a little bit. But we're going to talk about identification. We're going to talk about what it means what it means for us and who we are when we have faith in God. You know, what does a relationship bring us when we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ? You remember in Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, right before where we're starting today, he says, but now faith has come. Right? Faith has come. Christ has come, and faith has come, and we are in him. And I think what Paul says is it brings a new identification for us in three different ways. In three different ways. The first is an identification with Christ. An identification with Christ. Look with me at verse 26, chapter 3. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So he changes this language to a plural you, in other words, talking to the Galatian believers. And he says, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become a child of God. We just sang about that, right? We just sang about this wonderful transfer. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. This wonderful transfer, the righteousness of God, but we come into the family of God at that moment of salvation, at that moment of faith and belief in him. And not an infant child, but a full child. In other words, what I mean by that is a full-grown son. That's what the word there means. And the image there is that you are a full-grown son who is fully entitled in Jesus Christ. And I don't mean entitlement like we talk about it today, but I mean that you can enjoy all the rights and all the privileges of the childhood that you are, of the heir that you are in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, this is where we're going to dive into chapter 4, because I think he expounds on this idea just a little bit. So look with me, chapter 4, just a few verses down, verse 1, he says this. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So in other words, that child who is underage, who, although the heir of the owner and will own everything, has no rights, has no, as a matter of fact, he has slaves who are over him, right? Who are guiding him and who are taking care of him and who are correcting him even at times and putting him in that way. Verse 3, he says, So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elementary things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Again, so don't get confused. Don't think he's saying, you know, that you're children outside of Christ, but there's this infancy kind of child. No. He's giving this illustration of what it means. So he's saying that you are not under this slave still mentality. You are freed from that. You are complete. You are a child of God and you are set free completely. Amen. Right? You know that Jesus sent, that Jesus was sent to earth under the law so that he might redeem us from the law. And he says, and adopt us as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God. I mean, I got to tell you, you think about that and to grasp that. And I've often said the issue in the evangelical church today. So outside of the fact, outside the evangelical church, people don't believe that this is the word of God, and that's the number one issue. But in the church that believes that this is the word of God, that this is our authority, that this is from God and complete, the number one issue is that we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't understand what it means to be a son or a daughter of the King of Heaven. We don't know what it means to be an heir of God and of Christ and a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. We don't really understand that. And we don't understand that. We get trapped in this lifestyle that we used to be in, and we go back to that thinking, well, that's what's comfortable or that's maybe what we are, but you are no longer that. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer captured and bound in sin. You are free. You are free in Jesus Christ. You are a child of the living God. You are a child of the living God, an adopted son or daughter of the King. That's who you are. And by the way, that's who you are even when you don't act like it. Even when you don't act like it, even when you're not living up to the standard and of who you are, God doesn't go, well, you're not my kid today. No. You're still a child of the living God. You are still his. You are still wrapped in him. And so it's a reminder to us, right, that being a product of creation, being a product of God and in creation does not mean that we are sons and daughters of God. We are his creation. We are made in the image of God, but you only get adopted into his family. You only become a child through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Through Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is shown in the powerful symbol of baptism, right? So, you know, in baptism, in the symbol or in the sign of baptism, it shows our identification with Christ, our immersion into him. That's what baptism means. Right? That's what he says in verse 7. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves into Christ. And so it's this idea that this, you know, this physical baptism represents the spiritual baptism that happens at the moment of salvation when you trust in Jesus Christ alone. You are introduced into, you are immersed into Christ. And you become his child. So, because you might read this and you go, wait, all right, so we got to be baptized to be saved. No, that's not what he's talking about. May it never be. He's not kind of pushing away from circumcision to grab hold of baptism. That's not what he's doing. Rather, instead, what he's doing is baptism is that powerful sign of what has already occurred in us. Matter of fact, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you get wet, it's not a baptism. It's not a baptism. I mean, we might call it baptism in some churches, but it's not a baptism. Baptism is when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in response to what has already happened to you, you put on, if you will, you introduce yourself into this powerful symbol of what has happened in me. It's a declaration to the world that I am in Jesus Christ. And it's for us. Right? So just like communion is a powerful sign of what Christ has done for us, baptism is a powerful sign of the cleansing that has happened, and that we I love baptism, right? We go into the water and I say, right, we stand before God dirty. And when we get introduced into the water, it's a symbol of us dying with Christ. And when we come up, we're clean, we're washed, and we're new. In him. So Paul says, all those who have been baptized have been clothed in Jesus Christ. So we do baptize by immersion here, right? And so because you don't get saved in parts, you get saved completely. And so we baptize completely. But what's beautiful about that is you're completely introduced, right? And so this idea that you are clothed in Jesus Christ from head to toe. Completely from head to toe. And what that means is it means that we become like him, that we're to become like Christ. So that when people see us, they see Jesus. Because of who we are and what we represent, right? Because Christ is wrapped in us. So that when people look at us, when we have interaction with people, that what they should see is Jesus in us. It goes back to that prayer of Patrick, the missionary to Ireland. And I love it, right? And this was Patrick's prayer. He said, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. That is as complete as it gets, right? That is as complete as it gets. Patrick understood this idea that when he goes anywhere, what he wants people to see is not Patrick, but Jesus. Not me or you kind of doing our thing and you know, they look at us and they go, oh, man, you're really good. And the reality is every single one of us can say, no, we're not. No, we're not. As a matter of fact, sometimes what we do is very opposite of what our nature would be. So why would you do that? Well, it better be because it's Christ. It's Christ in everything I am, and everything I do, and everything that happens. And like I said, I've said before, right, you represent Jesus in all you do. You realize that? You represent Jesus in all that you do. And Paul, in talking about salvation in Christ and how we view life in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. And an ambassador is one who is identified with the one with whom they represent. And you say, well, I don't want people to look at me to see Jesus. Well, guess what? When you have Christ on you, they do, and they should. And the reality is you do represent Jesus at all times in everything that you do, in every place that you go, in every interaction that you have. That's why maybe we need to wake up and pray the prayer of Patrick and say, God, may everything that happens today May they see you and not me. Even when they think of me, I love that at the end, in the heart of every man that thinks of me, Christ in the heart of every man that thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. So that never would I get the praise, but Jesus would always have the praise. Never would it be about who I am or how good I am or anything like that. May it all be about Jesus. Because I have been immersed, I have been baptized into him. I am now clothed in Christ. It's who I am. It's what I am. Above all, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of the King of Kings. I am a son. I am a son of the King of Kings. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. That is who you are. That is whose name is emblazoned upon you. And that is what God sees every time he looks at you. As we've talked about over these last weeks, that's how he can call you holy and righteous and pure. Not because you are holy and righteous or pure, that everything you do, every thought that you think is holy or righteous or pure, right? No, but because you have the blood of Jesus applied to you. Because when he sees you, he doesn't see your unrighteousness, he sees the righteousness of Christ imputed, put on you. That's who you are. Now, I got to tell you, that's hard, right? That's a burden. It's tough. It's tough because life isn't always easy, right? Life isn't always easy. There's a lot of interactions where people don't do what I think that they should do in the way that I think that they should do them. And often we think if they would just do that, then everything would be all right. And whether your way was right or wrong doesn't matter. It's just not going to happen. Right? It's just not going to happen. You're going to have little interactions all throughout the week that are like sandpaper, that grate. All week long. Now, there's going to be great things that happen all week long, too, hopefully. But there are absolutely going to be things that rub you the wrong way. And here's the question. What is the last person that you came in contact with, especially when there was some sort of tension? What do they think about your relationship with Jesus? That's not a good thought, is it? Not always. I mean, maybe it's a great thought. I pray that they saw Jesus in you. Listen, I just know about me, and I joke a lot about driving on the LIE, and I'm back on the COVID mission, and so I get to drive a lot, and which means that I have to drive a lot. And your pastor does not do well. You need to pray for your pastor. and thank God I'm in a rented vehicle, right? At least that's the way we think. And again, all right, so that's not, but that's not it. Listen, we represent Christ in every way. In every way. And what do they see? What do they see? If they walked, I've thought about this. I've had interaction and I've walked out and then I've gone, oh man, what happens if they walk into my church next week? What would they think? What would they think if that person that you had that interaction with walked into church the next week and they saw you and they recognized you? What would they think? Maybe they'd be like, oh man, I don't want to come to this church. Maybe they'd be like, oh, that's good because they need something better. Here's the point. We are wrapped in Christ. We are his children. We represent him, right? We in Jesus Christ, by faith, we now identify with Christ in everything that we are. Christ is not an addition to us. He is not something else that we add to our life. He is your life. He's your life. That is what Christ sees. That's what God sees. So may we live it like that. All right, so we to the glory of God in faith in Jesus Christ, identify as a child of God. We become a child of God. I mean, that's not that we just, well, I just want to be like a child of God. No. You are a child of God. It's not what you want to identify as. It is who you are now. It is who you are. Not only that, not only do we identify with Christ, but we identify with other believers. There's an identification with other believers in Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. He says, there is, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Once you become into the family of God, you now have a family of God. That is yours, whether you like it or not. Right? Just like some of us have siblings. Maybe you don't like them. Maybe you do. I hope you do. Cousins. I mean, if you love your siblings, there's always a weird cousin out there. Right? And they're related to you. They got your blood, you know, something similar to that, pumping through their veins too. Right? So we get to identify. So we become one in a sense where these other identities don't mean much. Where these other things that we notice and that we look at and that we judge people by or that we evaluate everybody by is gone. Instead, we're one in Jesus Christ. Now, listen, that doesn't mean we lose our nationality, doesn't mean we lose our status, doesn't mean we lose our sex, doesn't mean that we become kind of this una everything. That's not what that means. All right, so Expositor's commentary said this: Paul simply means that by having become one with God as sons, Christians now belong to each other in such a way that distinctions that formerly divided them lose significance. The things that would separate us lose significance. So, he says, let's look at these a little bit. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nationality. And it was about nationality. It was also about religion for them. Right? It was about that, well, you weren't raised like this, or you were raised in a different place, or this is something different. Again, Expositor said, in Paul's day, there was a deep division between Jew and Greek. It was national in many respects, but the depth of feeling, at least from the Jewish perspective, came from the fact that it was also religious. The Gentile was uncircumcised and no child of Abraham. He did not have the law or the ceremonies. He was not up. He was not up to the covenant. And what Paul says is that the blood of Jesus has broken all that down. The blood of Jesus has shattered those distinctions there. And I got to tell you, that principle, that understanding of there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither someone of this birth or even how you were raised in religion or how you were raised in culture or any of that, in Jesus Christ is gone. And it should be gone. And it should be gone. There's no place for that in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's no place for these distinctions of nationality or culture or even color. There's no place for that in the Church of Jesus Christ. I was talking to a service member yesterday who was talking about the fact that he has felt this tension because he's got a darker skin than most in his section. I love what Ken Ham talks about it like this. He says, listen, I mean, there's only one race. We realize that, right? That's why I don't even like to call it race, because there's only one race. There's the human race. That's it. Right? And the reality of it is that some of you have more melanin than I have. There's no black or white. This is white, and as light as I am, I'm not even close to white. And I've met some very dark people, especially in Uganda, very dark people, but they're not black, right? They just have more melanin than I do. Matter of fact, I wish I had some more melanin. I'm here to tell you. I burn easy. I hate it. I go to my dermatologist every 6 months, right, to check spots for precancer because I'm so light-skinned, you know, and they're constantly spraying me with frozen stuff because I wish I had more melanin. I wish my wife can go outside and she can lay in the sun and not worried about, I mean, maybe if it's really strong, she might feel a burn for about a day and then it turns this deep brown. Well, I'm here to tell you, listen, there should be no distinction in the Church of Jesus Christ because somebody looks different than I do or they talk different than I do. Right? They have a different accent, than I do. We get real nationalistic at times. We get real nationalistic at times in America. And we're like to people, why don't you learn our language? And they do, and they know it. It's just so thick at times because they've come from a place that's spoken a different way. Listen, I can't understand people from Louisiana at times. I mean, seriously, people from the South who have just this draw, I mean, sometimes you can't understand them. Does that make them less than? Never. Right? There is neither Jew nor Greek in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no nationality. It shouldn't be about color, black, white, yellow, red, whatever. It shouldn't be about whether you're from the Far East or whether you're from Africa or whether you're from Europe or whether you're, you know, rarely anybody in America was born, you know, heritage-wise in America. And the reality is most of us, if you take a test, you're from all over the place. It shouldn't be about whether you're from there or here, whether you talk like that or whether you talk like this, whether you eat this kind of food or that kind of food, whether you celebrate these holidays or these holidays. It shouldn't be about skin color. It should be about Christ. And it should only be about Christ. I'm disturbed at times by the difference. And I used to think that there should be no cultural churches, you know. And I kind of changed on that. And I understand that if you're coming from Central America and Spanish is your primary language, it's a whole lot easier, right? I get that. I get that at times. But I got to tell you, there too often, we're just like climbing together. And what it should look like, it shouldn't just look like the rainbow. I mean, it should look like every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That's what the church should look like. Because guess what? It will one day in heaven. All right? There's neither Jew nor Greek. He says there's neither slave nor free. Again, that's a status issue. And Paul's not denying social distinction. And by the way, he's not denying that you look different than I do. He's not denying that there's not distinctions even in how we were raised and how we look or even in our status. But he's saying in the body of Christ, they got no power anymore. In the body of Christ, it doesn't matter. We should be able to have the highest politician sit right next to the lowest janitor. And there'd be nothing. There'd be nothing. Right? There shouldn't be this. There's no room for titles in the church. There's no room for letters after your name in the church. And that's not trying to disrespect somebody. All right? That's not trying to disrespect people. I get if you worked hard and you've earned a title, I get that. All right? But in the Church of Jesus Christ, I don't care who you are. I really don't. I don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. The question is, do you love Jesus? Right? No room for titles. It's not about rich or poor. It's not about educated or uneducated. It's not about long hair or short hair. It's not about lots of tattoos or no tattoos. It's not about whether you wear a suit to church or whether you wear shorts to church. It's about Jesus. And it's got to be about Christ. And when we take our eyes off of that, when we start turning them onto other things, we take our eyes off of Jesus. What about sex? Male or female? That's really hot topic in our culture today, right? Really hot topic. And again, he's not saying that men and women are exactly the same. We are different. He created us different. He created us different. Right? And I don't care what you want to identify as. You are born a certain way. You have DNA that matches that. They can do blood tests. I don't care what you look like or how you dress. So, but what's he saying here? Right? There's neither male nor female. What's he saying? He's not even saying that they have different roles. He's fighting against the idea that somehow a woman, and get this, in the culture there, in the Jewish culture, in the Greek culture, a woman was inferior to a man. It cracks me up today when people talk about how Paul was such a sexist because he talks about different roles. You have no idea what the Church of Jesus Christ and how it elevated women. By the way, we have this thing at times that we want to elevate women above men in our culture today. And that's not in Christ either, right? There is no difference before Jesus. There's no, even where there's role distinctions on earth, there'll be no role distinctions in heaven. There'll only be one leader, and that's God. There'll only be one leader, and that's Christ. Right? And so a man does not have any more worth before God than a woman. A woman doesn't have any more worth before God than a man. We are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. So it's not about male or female. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Paul states, you are all one in Christ. And I'm here to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to start acting like it. Because too often we don't. Too often we don't. All right. So he says we have this identification with Christ when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We have this identification with other believers. But not only that, we have identification with all believers over all time. So you don't enter in just to a church. You enter into a family of God that spans thousands of years back, even before Christ, and thousands of, well, however long God tarries into the future. I don't know if it'll be thousands of years. I'm not exactly sure it will be. But however long Christ tarries, all of those become part of our family. Look at what he says, verse 29. He says, and you belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So in Christ, we become one with all those who have been saved throughout all the history of time. How do we know that? Because we identify with Abraham. And how was Abraham saved? Abraham was saved by faith in the promise of God. And he says that when I enter into Christ, not only do I enter into Christ, but I enter into all that is past in Christ, including in Abraham. I become one of Abraham's descendants. Now, that's really cool for me because I've done the test and I've got no Jewish blood in me. Well, I think there might have been like a quarter of, maybe, I forget now, but I'm pretty sure there's certainly nothing. I'm mostly Ireland, Scotland, England, most of that up there, a little German, that kind of stuff. But so I don't have any Jewish in me. How am I Abraham's descendant? Because Paul clearly states, right, that you are a descendant of Abraham, not because you were born in the flesh like that, but because you are in faith of in Christ like Abraham was in faith. And you become his child. You become part of that. You remember it says in verse 16, a little bit up higher, right? He says, these promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say into seeds, referring to the many, but referring to the one. And your seed, that is Christ, right? So So that seed, believers enter into the promise, they're entering into Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Those blessings, you have none of those outside of Christ. None of those outside of Jesus Christ. You only enter into the blessings and into the promises and all that God has promised from beginning to end when you enter into Jesus Christ. When you enter into that relationship with him by faith. So let me ask. So get this, right? When you accept Jesus Christ, but now he says there is faith, right? But now there is faith in Jesus. And like I said, Jesus doesn't become this addition. He becomes your everything. You are clothed. You are wrapped in Christ. That's who you are. Whether you like it at times or not, whether you are ashamed, as Paul would call that, or not, whether you don't like the consequences that you might get or not. And so we're called to never deny. We're called never to misrepresent. We're called never to shrink. Jesus, again, Jesus said, do not cover the lamp with a bushel. Do not cover the lamp with a pot. Why would you ever do that? Yet we do it. So here's the question. When you're interacting with those who don't know Jesus, what are you showing? What are you showing? You know, our mission statement here is to exalt Christ and to point others to him. And really, you can't have one without the other. As a matter of fact, what I would tell you is that if you exalt Christ and only Christ, you will point others to him because you'll be like Patrick. So are you reflecting Christ in all you do? Are you reflecting Christ in every interaction, whether it's on the road, driving, whether it's in the supermarket, when like you go to the line and something happens and they run out of register tape? How do I pick that line every single time? I don't know. Right? Whether somebody gets in your way or not, whether somebody does something stupid or not. Are you representing Jesus? I mean, you are representing Jesus. The question is, are you showing Jesus? Okay. What about when you interact with those who do know Jesus? What are you showing them? What are you showing them? Are you reflecting Christ in all you do? Are you showing Jesus in every interaction, not just out there, but in here? And listen, I get it. We almost immediately want to say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. And people need to have grace, and they do. But that doesn't give me an excuse. It doesn't give me an excuse to just be a jerk. I mean, the reality is I am a jerk sometimes. I am. If you've been in this church any period of time, you know that. Right? The only reason why I'm able to stand up here is not because I've been that good, but because of the grace of God and his calling. So when you deal with those outside the church, when you deal with those who don't know Christ or who know Christ, what are you reflecting? You are identified with him. You've received all the blessings. They're already yours. Your identification with Christ starts at the moment of your salvation. It starts at the moment of your salvation. And so the question is, are you living up to your heritage? Are you living out who you are? I'm not talking about manufacturing something, right? We're not talking about living the law so that you'll be accepted before God. No, no, no. You've been fully accepted before God only by faith in Jesus Christ. The question is, though, are you living that out? Are you living out who you are? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, and I love it. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve unity in the spirit, the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Are you living out your calling? Are you reflecting Jesus? Because you're his. And I hope you don't go home going, man, I've really blown it this week. I hope you go home this week going, I am a child of God. I am one with Christ. I am one with everybody in this room. And I am one with everybody who calls Christ their Lord. Even those who have passed on before me. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Remind me every second of every day who I am, so that when people see me, they don't see me. They see Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your salvation and for your identification. I thank you that we are in you, that we are no longer alone, that we are no longer of ourselves, that we are no longer in the flesh, but Lord, we have the Spirit of God in us. Father, God, thank you. Thank you for your hope, and thank you for your joy, and thank you for the fact that even if every day for the rest of our lives forward is a bad day humanly, we are secure in you, and it's a good day because we are yours. Never again will we be alone, if you will. Father, may we simply live that. May we simply move in that. May we simply honor you with our very life to your glory. Lord, fill us. We can only do that by the power of your Spirit. We can only do that as we press into you, as we get connected to the vine and allow the power of God through the Holy Spirit to flow in us and through us and out of us. May it be unto your glory. Father, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name.